Welcome back to Sunday School. Great to start a new year. Hopefully we'll have more students this year as the pandemic problem resolves itself. Anyway, this year we're beginning at the beginning. We're beginning with Genesis chapter 1, the creation of the world. Genesis, of course, is the book of beginnings. It's what its name means. Genesis means the beginning. And right away, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here we have God the Father, shown to us as the creator, the planner, the preserver. The word create, used in Genesis 1:1, the Hebrew word, is never used of anyone other than God. It is only God who truly creates. We use the word in English of authors and artists and such, but man never truly creates. Man takes something that God has made and changes it to look like something else or to be used for some other purpose. God is the only one who truly creates. He takes nothing, and out of that nothingness, he makes something. In this case, he created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word for heavens, shamayim, is plural. The Hebrews saw the heaven as layers, which is nothing wrong with that, right? We've got air, and then you've got space above that, and then you got the stars above that. So there are layers, depending on how you look at it. So here the word heavens means skies and all that which is above it. God created the heavens and the earth. This isn't a separate heavens and earth, of course. Sometimes people think that there's a distinction between verse 1 and what comes. Verse 2 is going to say the earth was without form and void. And so they'll say, you see, he created the heavens and the earth. And now here's a new creation in verse 2. That's not true at all. This is simply a summary statement of everything that is to come. God created the heavens and the earth. And now the rest of the chapter tells us more details about how he did that. So here we have, in the beginning, God creating all things. He was already there, and there was nothing there before this point, and now he's going to create things. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Here we have the Holy Spirit. So in verse 1, we have God the Father. Now here we have God the Spirit, and notice that he's hovering over the face of the waters. The Hebrew word for spirit also means wind or breath. And you can understand how these three things are all combined in the minds of the Hebrews. The breath of life, right? The air we breathe is what gives us life. And if we're not breathing, we don't have life for very long. And so that's obviously very closely connected with the wind and the spirit. So this is, the Holy Spirit is the life giver. Here he's hovering, he's blowing across the earth, bringing it life. And that's true also in Jesus' baptism. The Holy Spirit descended upon him. He's bringing new life to Christ as he brings new life to us in our baptism as well. And so that's the sanctifier. He's the one who creates faith and brings us to life in Christ. The bringing of life, both the physical life and the spiritual life, is very much the job and purpose of the Holy Spirit. And we see that even in the creation of the world. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So here God speaks and he creates all things, not with his hands as men do. When we make something, we use our hands normally, but God does it by his word. John chapter 1 verse 1, of course, tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we know from John chapter 1 that this Word is Jesus Christ. He's the one who became flesh. And so we know from the Gospel of John that Christ is the messenger. So God the Father is the creator, the planner. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. Christ is the messenger. No one has known God at any time. The only begotten Son, he has declared. The only begotten Son of God who was in the bosom, he has declared him, right? We would not know God if Jesus, the Son of God, had not declared him to us. It is the job of Christ to be the Redeemer, of course, but also to be the messenger of God, the one who speaks. And so here when God speaks, this also is the Son of God. God creates, the Holy Spirit gives life, the Son of God speaks and brings the message of God. Here on day one, he creates light. Notice in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So, so he created mass, might be the right word. He created the elements, but he didn't make anything with them yet. He created the base material of which he's going to create the universe, and now he creates light. And now, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So now he divides the light into day and into night, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night, so the evening and morning were the first day. So you're going to notice that the first 3 days of creation, God is dividing. He created the base materials, the elements, as well as the light, all right here on the first day, but he hadn't formed it yet. So the first 3 days, he's going to be dividing what he already created. And then the last 3 days, he's going to be filling that which he divides on the first 3 days. So on day one, he divides the light from the darkness, morning and night. Notice verse 5, God called the light day, the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Notice how many times in that one verse, God makes it very clear that he's talking about one 24-hour day. He says day and night. He says evening and morning. He says the first day. Some people like to say, well, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day in God's sight. So day here really means 1,000 years. Well, that psalm is very true, but you have to understand it in the right way. That psalm isn't to say that God doesn't know the difference between a day and 1,000 years. That's not to say that God uses the word day to mean 1,000 years. It's just pointing out that for God, 1,000 years really isn't that long. It's a long time for us, but it's really not that long for God. That's the point of the psalm. It's not trying to say that, well, when we go back to Genesis and we read God called said the first day, that we should say, oh, that's 1,000 years. No, that's nonsense. This is clearly one 24-hour day, day and night, evening and morning, the first day. Furthermore, in Exodus, God says, in 6 days he created all things. So there later on, he says it again, that it's 6 normal days. There's no reason to think it's any longer. Those who try and make the days into long periods of time, they're twisting scripture to fit their own preconceived notions. They're not reading God's word and learning from it, but they're putting their own ideas into scripture, and it's just not true. So day one, God divides. Day two, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and morning were the second day. So notice again we have a divide. This time he is dividing the waters below from the waters above. So what does this mean, that he's dividing the waters below from the waters below above? I think some people say that there was a water vapor around the earth before the flood, and that's of course possible. But I think all that this is referring to here is that God made the earth that we're standing on, and then he made everything above it. And there is a division between us and between space, namely the sky, the air, which divides us from the space. And so the word water here is waters. Notice it's plural again. I don't think it should be taken to mean literal H2O water, but is a generic term for kind of everything, for matter. Now you see that back in verse 2 as well. You don't need to get into that with the children, but I'm just telling you for your own edification as well. Anyway, he created, the scripture is very clear that this thing that is referred to as a firmament is the heavens, it's the sky. And that comes up clearly again when we get to day 5. The birds fly across the face of the firmament. They're flying through the firmament. So it's a reference to the sky very clearly and everything above it. So God divided that which was below the earth from that which was above, space and everything up there. Of course, there's a lot more stuff up there than what's just on the earth, but that division is very important for us. Day 3, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. So notice we have a division now between land and sea. Day 1, divide night and day. Day 2, divide that which was below from that which is above. And day 3, he's dividing the land from the water. But that's not the only thing he does on day 3. And a lot of times people forget the second thing he did on day 3. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit of tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. So he also creates all plants on day three. Day four, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So here we're on day four. So on day one, he divides the light from the dark. He makes the day and the night. Now here on day four, he fills the day and the night, right? He fills the day with the one greater light, which is to rule the day, which is the sun, of course. And then he fills the night with the lesser light, the moon, and also the stars, which were to be lights during the night. What he divided on day one, now on day four, he's filling it. He's filling it with the sun, moon, and stars. And notice, as I mentioned here before, God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. So again, the word firmament is clearly just a reference to the sky and even to outer space, as I mentioned before. So day five, and God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So remember, on day two, he divided the sky, that which was above, from that which was below, the sky from the earth underneath. And now he fills those two things. He fills the sky, and he fills the waters below. The waters above, i.e. the sky, and the waters below, i.e. the seas. He fills with fish and with birds. And the Hebrew word for fish, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures. It doesn't say fish in our translation, which is good. The waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Sometimes it's translated fish there. But the Hebrew word there simply means anything living in the water. So our word for fish, for example, we would say, well, whales aren't fishes. So they wouldn't be included. But it doesn't say fish. It says everything that lives in the water. So yes, whales were created on day five. Anything that lives in the water. And those things that live partially in the water and partially on the land were almost certainly created the next day on day six, like frogs and such. Because they're fit more closely with the wording here that you're going to see on day six. But I guess we can't prove that for sure. I would say those things that kind of live on the land, but, you know, jump into the lakes and rivers for a little bit are probably day six. Those things that kind of live in the sea, in the waters, but maybe come out on land every once in a while, those are probably day five. But again, it doesn't matter that much which day God created such things. Kind of interesting to talk about, though. And all the birds as well. Anything that flies. And notice that God blesses them and causes them to be fruitful and fill the waters and seas. So he gives them the gift of reproduction here. Verse 23. So the evening and morning were the fifth day. Now day six. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of each according to his kind, cattle according to his kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to his kind. And God saw that it was good. So the sixth day here, now we have the creation of all living things on the land, every living creature on the land, also every creeping thing, which refers to all the insects and bugs that we might refer to, that also mostly live on the land. Notice that throughout day 3, 4, 5, and now 6. Well, actually, day 4 is sun and stars. So day 3, 5, and 6, when God is creating the plants, when he creates the fish, and the sea creatures, everything living in the water, and the birds, and also when he creates the creeping things and the cattle and everything that lives on the land, it says he created them according to their kind. And it stresses that. And each is going to bring forth fruit according to its kind. So those who like to try and mix evolution and scripture, not only do they have a problem with when scripture says day one, day two, day three, not only do they have a problem that God says in 6 days he created all things, but they also have a problem when God specifically says he created them according to its kind and they reproduce according to its kind. So yes, God was very, very wise in his creation, and he created living things in such a way that they can vary. which is a good thing. We all descended from Noah, and yet humans look very different. But we recognize that, however different we look, we're still humans. You don't find humans with wings. You don't find other humans that have gills, right? We're all still human. So God created each kind with the ability to vary, and sometimes to vary quite a bit. Think of some of the different variations of citrus fruit. And yet, they're all citrus fruit. They're all according to its kind. So there's a difference between variations, which is true, we see, and we see often. And there's a difference between that and what the evolutionists say, where a dog can turn into a bird, or a reptile can turn into a bird, or something like that. This is not going to happen. Kids, of course, love the ideas of dinosaurs. They're big, they're kind of cool looking, and they're mysterious. Kids love the idea of dinosaurs, so talking about, well, what day did God create the dinosaurs is one way to maybe get them interested and even bring pictures of dinosaurs, even different kinds of dinosaurs. Okay, what day did God create this dinosaur? Because there were dinosaurs that swam, and there were dinosaurs that flew, and there were dinosaurs that lived on the land. So each of those different kind of quote-unquote dinosaurs would have been created at a different time. And you could talk about that, and that's one way to keep the children's interest. Anyway, day six here, he creates all the land animals, but he's not done. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God decided to make man in his own image. What does that mean? God is spirit. The image of God is not a physical body. You can ask your students, what is the image of so-and-so? How would you describe one of your classmates? Or how would you describe me, your teacher? And they're, of course, going to point to physical attributes. You're so tall or so short. Your hair, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes. That's how we describe physical things. But God isn't physical. His image isn't physical. His image is spiritual. So the image of God is not a physical image, but a spiritual image. And the image of God is holiness and righteousness. Paul tells us that straight out in Ephesians chapter 2. In his image, holy and righteous. So the image of God is holiness and righteousness. So he's telling us that Adam and Eve were going to be made holy and righteous so that they would always do the right thing. And they were to be given dominion over the earth. There are different words in Scripture for ruling and for submission. There are words in the Hebrew that kind of mean the dominating, you're going to do what I want, and you're going to do it whether you like it or not, kind of attitude of tyrant, right? That kind of tyranny of dominion. But here we have a very different word. This word implies taking care of. One who is in charge of something to take care of it. The word caretaker might be a better one here than the word dominion. Adam and Eve were given responsibility. They were given authority over the earth in order to take care of it. And that, of course, is something that we haven't done very well. In our sinfulness, we've kind of exploited the earth instead of taking care of it the way God meant us to. It's the same word that's used of husbands and wives, that husbands are supposed to take care of their wives in the same way, in a loving way, not in a dominating, domineering way. Let them have dominion over the fish. They're supposed to be gardeners. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Notice it stresses that both, he created both the male and the female, and both were created in the image of God. It's not man that's like God and women is something less or not in the image of God. Both were created in the image of God. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Again, that word subdue does not mean to destroy. It means to take care of it, to give it order and purpose. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. And to every beast of the field, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, it was in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Notice that God gives every plant, every berry, every nut, to man and to the fish and the birds and the animals. He gives every green thing, every herb, every fruit as food. He does not give animals as food for man. It was not originally God's intention that we should eat meat. That is something that happens after the flood. After the flood, God says it's okay then to eat meat, but originally it was not God's intention. It's not what he gave us. And so there is no death at this point. There is no death of man. There is no death of animals either. He made us to eat fruit and vegetables, not to eat meat. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Notice it was good. The English here actually takes a liberty and says it was very good. The Hebrew simply says, indeed it was good. God saw that it was good. That's repeated over and over again in this section. He makes something and he says, and it was good. We have variations of good. We say, well, this is good, but this is better, and this is best. And so the idea of good in our minds can be a wide variation from just okay to really perfect. But when God says something is good, there's no variation. When God says it's good, he means it is perfect. When God says something is good, it is absolutely good. And there is no problem, there is no mistake, there is no death, there is no disease at this point. God knew what he was doing when he made the world, and it was made perfectly. And it's man who later on is going to come and to ruin it. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. We're in chapter 2 now. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. So it's day 7, God rests from his labor, and he does this for our sake. He gives us that seventh day as a gift from God to us. It's a day when we also are to rest. The ancient Hebrews were specifically told not only to rest, but to worship God. So it's a day to pause in our labor and spend time with God, just as we take time every day to spend time with our families. Hopefully we do anyway. So God made sure to set aside one day of the week that we are supposed to spend with him. Now, we don't do that on the seventh day anymore. We do it on the first day, but we still do it, and that's the important part. If you have any questions, let me know, and Lord's blessings on your Sunday school lesson.